Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's broadcast is the second and concluding part of Dr. Raphael Thomas's message begun last week. In this message, Dr. Thomas has been speaking on the topic of the so-called eternal state, the consummation of God's plan for all creation, brought about by the victorious, crucified, risen, and glorified Christ that follows the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. Last week, Dr. Thomas described for us seven things that will be made new. This week, we will hear of seven things that will pass away. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapters 20 and 21 and listen with us as Dr. Thomas concludes his message, Eternal State, Part 1. Here again is Dr. Thomas.
So seven things which are made new. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new world order, new temple, new light, new paradise. But let me quickly point out seven things which are going to pass away. By now you would have realized that the number seven is special to John. Seven things which pass away. We see in chapter 21, verse 1, there is no more sea. Chapter 21, verse 4, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57 asks the question, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Life has triumphed over death. There is coming a time when there is going to be no more death. For we shall drink of the fountain of life. We also see in verse 3, that there is no more mourning. Sometimes our hearts are so broken in this world. We carry grief and we carry wounds. But there is coming a time when there will be no more mourning. For he shall turn your mourning into dancing. We see that there will be no more crying. 21 verse 4. All crying is going to be past. And he will wipe away all tears from their eyes. We also see in verse 4 there that there will be no more pain. As I prepared, I reflected on the worst pain that I've ever felt. And it occurred to me that that was after I did quadruple heart bypass surgery. And with every breath I took or with every move I made, it was an intense pain. Some of you know what pain is all about. I believe it's a part of our human experience. We understand what brokenness, physical pain, emotional pain, mental anguish, all kinds of troubles and tribulations, difficulties that take a toll of us. But I want to remind us there is coming a time. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Somebody says it's soon be done. All troubles and trials when I get over on the other side. Revelation 22:3 tells us there will be no more curse. For Jesus himself became a curse for us, that we may inherit the blessings from God. Chapter 21 verse 25 tells us there will be no more night. We don't have to worry about turning on the lights because there will be no more night. No more darkness surrounding us. For it will be passed away with the old creation. So we have seen seven things which are made new and seven things which are passed away. And so I believe you are now expecting 7 more things. But because I am so gracious, I will only look at 3 things. The place, the people, and the presence of God. The New Jerusalem. It is called the Holy City in chapter 21, verse 2. We are told in Revelation 3:12, 21:2, and 21:10 that it comes down from God. This is coming down out of heaven, coming down from God. It is called a bride adorned for her husband, chapter 21, 2 and 9. It is referred to as the bride, but it is also referred to as the wife of the Lamb. And it is adorned for her husband. The word adornment there is the same word from which we get our English word cosmetics. So if you want to know what real cosmetology is, you will see it in the New Jerusalem. It is well dressed. It is well adorned. It is beautified with the glory of God. We would say it fills the eyes. It is the city of God coming down out of heaven. And I believe John wanted to create a sense of hope as he emphasized the city. Because by the time John wrote the book of Revelation in about AD 95, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, their capital city, was in ruins. It was already destroyed. But the prophets of old looked forward to a new Jerusalem. Isaiah and Ezekiel yearned and prophesied about the new Zion, the new Jerusalem. Abraham himself looked for a city. And he did not tie himself to the temporal things of the world because he knew that he was going to a city. And I don't know how Abraham knew, but Abraham said, I am looking for a city that has foundations. Not just one foundation. And we will see in the city, it has 12 foundations. But he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The NASB version says, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. What a joy it is going to be when we occupy a city that was conceived and constructed by God himself. Isaiah 60, Ezekiel 40 to 48 captured the desire and the yearning and the prophecies about the city. Let us look at some details of the city, because this is a real place. It is no figment of the imagination. Look at verse 9. Then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls filled with the 7 last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. As we mentioned the spirit there, I must remind us that today in the church's calendar is referred to the day of Pentecost. We commemorate the work of the spirit. This is a special day. It is the birthday of the church. It so happens to be the birthday of Timothy Thomas as well. Happy birthday, Timothy. But John says he was carried away in the Spirit. Now, the Spirit plays an important role in the book of Revelation. For at the beginning of the book, John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He had a dynamic, real relationship with the Spirit of God. So here he is carried away by the Spirit. And 7 times we hear the words to the 7 churches. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God's Spirit continues to speak. And it says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I don't know what the Spirit of God will say to you today. But when you hear the Spirit speak, respond positively. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So we are looking at the details of this new Jerusalem. He was carried away by the Spirit to a great and high mountain, And he said, and he showed me the great city. So not only is it a holy city, it is a great city. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. One of the characteristics of this city is the glory of God. Moses cried out, show me your glory. And when he just got a little glimpse of the glory, the Lord said, I am not going to allow you to see my face. I will pass and you will get a glimpse of my back. But when he got a glimpse of that glory and he came off the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because he just saw the glory of the living God for just a short time. And human beings couldn't face that glory. But there is coming a time, brothers and sisters, when we shall live in his glory, when we shall bask in his glory, when his glory shall fill the atmosphere and fill that city. Oh, what a glory it is going to be. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. That is the kind of light that is there. Now, the Bible tells us that this city has a wall. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And names were written on them. Each gate had a name, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, as we see in verse 14. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, the gates and the foundations have name. 12 gates, 12 foundations. So we see that the Lord, as he concludes history, is pointing out to us that both the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints are a part of that city. My brothers and sisters, all the saints of all the ages, of all nations, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, are going to be welcome into that city. Verse 15, and he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. So those who say that heaven is not a real place, this is a place that even have real dimensions. The city is laid out as a square. Its breadth, length, and it is as great as its breadth. In fact, it is more of a cube, length, width, and height. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Some say it's 1,400 or 1,500 miles. That is the dimension of the city. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Might I just remind us that the highest mountain in the world is only 5.5 miles. There is a lot of space in heaven, my friend. And if you have not yet made reservation, I want to encourage you to do so, because God is still taking bookings, because the Son of God came and died for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, or 1,500 miles. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 124 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. This is the thickness of the wall, 200 feet. And the Bible tells us that although this wall was so thick, it was clear as crystal because of the material that it was made from. You could see through it. That's the wall. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. We sing about the pearly gates. It is not just a song. It is the truth of the word of God. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. like transparent glass. Somebody may remember, I'm going to walk those streets of glory by and by. Hallelujah. That is a little description of the place. But let us quickly look at the people. Go back to verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give up the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. So he's going to give to those who thirst. Anybody who thirsts can drink. Now look at what verse 7 says. He who overcomes. Verse 7. He who overcomes. This is a place for overcomers. These are people who have overcome the power of sin and the power of Satan because of the shed blood of the Lamb. For it is written, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. It is also what was promised to the saints of the seven churches. Seven promises made to them who overcome. So they are overcomers. We also see in the text, it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. Not only are they overcomers, but they are hearers. Now, the only way you can get into heaven is to get it by inheritance. For this cannot be purchased. You cannot work for this. It is so precious that you have to be a hearer. Here to get it. Here. This has to be given to you freely. Then it goes on to say, and I will be his God. That means the people there shall be the people of God. They belong to God. But not only do they belong to God, but they must be born of God. Because it says, and I will be, and he shall be my son. So the people there, they are overcomers, they are heirs, they are belonging to God, and they are born of God. But as we get down to verse 8, it doesn't only tell us those who will be there, but it tells us those who will not be there. Verse 8 begins with the word but. And if you look over at verse 27 too, there is another but there. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those are the people who will be there. But look back at verse 8. But the cowardly. You know what the Bible says? Those who are afraid to own him, ashamed to own him here. He will be ashamed to own them when he comes with his angels. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Can you hear the Lord giving a warning in the midst of all this glorious description of what heaven is going to be like? There still comes the warning that only people who have accepted God as their Father, who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, only those people will find entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And so, my friend, if today you are not one of those who are prepared for heaven, you still have time to make it right. God commands all men everywhere to repent. He says, repent or you shall likewise perish. The warning comes in the book of Revelation. Only those who are on the Lord's side now will be entering into this city. Let us quickly look at the presence of God. I'm so happy we already had breaking of bread. The presence of God. Look at 21, 3 and 4. A highlight of the New Jerusalem is the presence of God. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. From the dawn of creation, in the Garden of Eden, it was God's desire to dwell with his people. It was God's desire to fellowship with mankind. He came down and he spoke. He communed with Adam in the cool of the evening. Sin broke the relationship, but God pursued that relationship. We hear God calling out to Adam, words that echoed throughout the ages. Adam, where art thou? He wasn't asking for information. He was expressing the desire of his heart to have relationship and fellowship with Adam. During the time of the wilderness experience, they were told to build a tabernacle that the presence of God could be entertained. And sometimes God would come down and the clouds would fill that place as the glory of the Lord filled that temple, that tabernacle. When Israel became a nation, they had a permanent place to entertain the presence of God, the temple. And as Solomon dedicated that temple, again, the glory of the Lord came down. The priests had to stop ministering because of the glory of the Lord. When the fullness of time was come, Jesus himself, the Word, became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. When he went back to the Father, he says, I will send the Holy Spirit and he will abide with you forever. Because he no longer lives in temple made with hands. It is his desire to occupy our lives and dwell there. But the time is coming, my brothers and sisters, when we shall live in the very presence of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall wipe every tear from our eyes. When we are living in the presence of God, we will experience the peace and the glory of God like never before. No more crying, no more dying, no more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more grief. It will all be over. Because where Jesus is, somebody says, 'tis heaven there. We thank God for the hope of living in the presence of God. As I close, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 8, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish. This is an inheritance reserved for us. It cannot perish, spoil, or fade, says Peter. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So we are told that this inheritance is being kept for us. But he who is keeping our inheritance is keeping us for the inheritance. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What we have now, brothers and sisters, is only the down payment, the deposit, but the greater part is coming behind. Jim Elliot says, He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.